Welcome to the Sunday morning podcast from Kingdom Faith Church in Horsham. This message is by Clive Urquhart.
Last week, Colin brought a great message here about the person of the Holy Spirit, being in relationship with Him. And I was in Crawley with the congregation there. We had a great time there too. And the Holy Spirit wants us to know Him, be in relationship with Him, have an intimacy with Him. He is God living in us. He's the Spirit of Jesus living in us. What an honour it is to have the Holy One of God living in this earthen vessel. Amen. What an honour it is. Is anybody else kind of to be a believer, to be a child of God, to have God living in us by His Spirit? What an honour that He would honour us with Himself living in us by His Spirit. Incredible. We're just going to focus for a few minutes a bit more on the baptism of the Holy Spirit this morning. And we've already kind of said a few things in the last few minutes. And when you know Jesus, you've been born of the Spirit. So to be saved, to repent of your sin and to ask Jesus into your life, that's a supernatural thing that takes place where God takes that heart of stone out and He replaces it with a heart of flesh, as it talks about in Ezekiel 36. And He says in there that He does that so that He can then put His Spirit in us, because He knows we can't live this life without Him in us. And so we're born of the Spirit in order to come into that relationship, into the salvation that God has for us. And when we're born of the Spirit, we come into Christ. We're birthed into Him. But then God knows that we've been born into Christ. We've been born of the Spirit into Christ. But then we need the power of the Holy Spirit, the enabling of the Holy Spirit to then live in the good of all that we've now received and been given. That He doesn't just save us out of sin and the world and belonging to the enemy and brings us into salvation and say, well, there you go, now you have it. What He says is, that's a work of the Spirit for you to be born or to be taken out of death and into life. You're born of the Spirit. You come alive to God. But then He says, I don't just leave you there and then say, this is how to try and live that life. I'm now going to empower you to be able to live in Christ, but I'm also going to empower you for the purpose of Christ, the purpose of the kingdom through our lives. And in Ephesians 1, 13 and 14, it says this, but you also, like us, were placed in Christ when you heard the truth of salvation and believed. Then He marked you in a very special way by placing His personal seal upon you. The seal is the Holy Spirit. What does the seal represent? The seal represents three things. Ownership. Why do we use this word ownership? Because God has purchased us with His blood. Jesus has purchased us with His blood so that we now belong to Him and not to ourselves any longer, not to the world, to sin, to the devil, but He's purchased us with His blood through the cross, and He now says, I am yours and you are mine. So there's this ownership. We belong to Him and He belongs to us. Second thing about a seal is approval. When something's sealed, they make something, they put a seal on it. It's a seal of approval. It meets the standard or it meets whatever is put that says that seal represents something. And He seals us with His Holy Spirit because He has made us worthy. He has made us blameless and holy in His sight. And He seals us with the Holy Spirit and says, you're approved. You're approved. You're approved. Not because we've made ourselves approved, because none of us can, but it's because of what he's done. We can stand before him now, not only knowing that I belong to him and he belongs to me, but I can be before him and live that life approved, knowing that he looks at me, not with any condemnation or with any judgment, but he looks at me and says, son, daughter, approved, one that I have made worthy to put my Holy Spirit in. Amen. And the third thing about a seal, it's a seal that protects. A good father will protect. And that protection is shown in the way that he loves. His protection, he's our refuge, he's our strong tower. And also, it's a, I know we look at, we see a lot in the natural because we live in the natural in that sense, but this Holy Spirit seal also is a declaration spiritually. It's a declaration out there, right, in the spirit. And a lot of the time we don't see what's going on. But the enemy knows what's going on. He can see who you are and who I am. He can see who we are in the spirit, right? And so the enemy looks at your life and he looks at my life and he sees the seal of the Holy Spirit on our life. And he says, that one's owned by Jesus. That one has been approved by Jesus. That one has the protection of Jesus. So we're going to try and come against them. We're going to try and undermine what they believe. We're going to try and come against, you know, and he's out to steal, kill and destroy. But we have one who we belong to, who's approved of us, who's our protection. He's our victory. He's our overcomer. He's the one that enables us to live free from where we've been in the fullness of who he is now. Amen. And the victory that he gives us over the lies of the enemy. He's the seal in us. He gave you his promised Holy Spirit to live within you, the gift. He's a gift. He's not someone we've earned. We've not earned anything from God. We've simply just responded to his goodness, his abundant mercy and grace. And we've just said, here am I as an unworthy person full of sin and everything else. And I come before a holy God who I don't deserve. But because of your love and all you did on the cross, I can approach you and say, God, I'm guilty. I'm a sinner. But I come as I am. And I ask you to forgive me, to cleanse my heart, to transform me and make me the person you've called me to be so I can be in relationship and be the person you've called me to be. This is who we are now. Amen. And he gives us the gift of his spirit as a deposit from God that guarantees our inheritance. It's all God, isn't it? He's so good. What an amazing father. Or maybe you guys know all this and I'm just talking to myself this morning. He's the gift of his spirit, a deposit. You know, when you put a deposit down on something, that's it. I'm putting a deposit down and now it's taken off the sale, whatever it is, because someone's put a deposit, they've bought it. So it's been set aside now. Yeah, they're going to come back and pay for it and take it home in that sense. But now they put a deposit on, nobody else can access that. And it's like God's put his spirit in us as a deposit saying, that's mine. They're set aside for me. They belong to me. And they're going to walk with me. And one day you're going to be with me in that sense. And so there's this deposit in us guaranteeing our inheritance to come, but also enabling us to live in the inheritance of who he is today. And it says here, what else does this, the Holy Spirit do? This seal, the gift, the deposit, guaranteeing. It says he keeps us as those who are his possession. Don't you love that? Do you want to be God's possession? If you want to be someone's possession, it's best to be his possession. Amen. Living in the power of his redeeming love that knows no bounds, no limits, that never fails. Wow. All of us fail one another in different ways. None of us are perfect. We do things wrong. But yet his love never fails. Yes, that we might live for the praise, for his praise and his glory. So in one sense, a lot of what we just read is what he's done by his spirit to be born of the spirit, to come into his kingdom in relationship with him. and that's all a work of His Spirit. And then what He wants to do is to baptize us in His Spirit to enable us to live in the good of all that we've just been reading and to be the people, the church He's called us to be. So we've talked about baptism water earlier. We're going to talk about baptism of the Spirit. Now, the Greek word for baptism or to be baptized is baptizo. And whether John the Baptist used that word, whether Jesus used the word, whether Peter in one or two of his sermons used the word, whether Paul used the word about baptism in water or baptism of the Holy Spirit, they all used exactly the same word. To be baptized in water or to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, it's the same Greek word that is used. To be completely immersed and submerged, to be overwhelmed and engulfed with, to be taken over by. So whether it's baptized in water, connecting with when you surrender your life to Jesus and all that that means, to everything's going to be submerged, all the sin, the death, everything else is submerged, it's gone forever. That's all overwhelmed now by the death of what Jesus did on the cross, through His death. And then we come out into the life of who He is. Then what He wants to do is to baptize us in His Spirit so that we are then immersed and submerged, overwhelmed and engulfed with Him, with His Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the enabler in our lives. John the Baptist said this in Matthew 3, "I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to untie or to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." Wow. The Holy Spirit is not an emotion. The Holy Spirit is a person. Now, a person has emotions and expresses emotions. But the Holy Spirit in and of Himself is not an emotion. It's not like God the Father, person, God the Son, person, God the Holy Spirit, emotion. He's a person. He's the character and the nature of Christ in us. He reveals more of the Father to us. He's a person. He's the Trinity. And John says here, "I came to baptize in water, but there's one more powerful than I. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit, with the power." He's more powerful. He will baptize you in power. But you will also, He's going to baptize you with fire. What's fire? Fire consumes. The amazing thing about the fire of God doesn't burn up. The fire of God consumes so that we burn with the fire of God in our lives. Now, even having been baptized in the Holy Spirit, the choices we make here, this side of the cross, being in Christ rather than over there before you know Jesus, the choices we make determine how much we live in the good of who we are in Christ. Live in the good of all that we have in terms of the life and the power of the Holy Spirit. How much we live consumed and surrendered is based on the choices that we make throughout every day, each day. So the truth is, we are full of the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit. We have the power of the Holy Spirit. How much of that fullness we live in and how much of that power is released is down to the choices we make. It's down to, what do I believe? Do I believe what I have? Because what you believe, you do, you act upon. What you believe comes out of our mouths, right? So God wants to give us a fresh revelation beyond knowledge, beyond, yeah, I know this stuff, Clive. Please tell me something that has more revelation to it so you give me a bit more enlightenment to my Christianity. But God's more concerned with the reality and the revelation that he's already revealed to us as believers. How much do we live in the reality and the revelation of what we have and what he's given us to see our own lives transformed, but also those around us transformed? Are you glad you came this morning? You see, God baptizes us in the Spirit to enable us two things. To live as the believer he's called us to be in him. To grow spiritually. To grow in relationship with those around us in the body. But he also empowers us for the Great Commission, which is what? To go and make disciples, right? So he empowers us for his purpose. What did he say to the disciples in Luke 24 before he went up to heaven? He said, 24:49, he says, I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. He then says in Acts 1:5, for John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. In verse 8, a couple of verses later, when this happens, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you'll be my witnesses. Where? In Jerusalem, where you live, your locality. In Judea, the nation, to your nation. In Samaria, where's that? That's other people groups. And to the ends of the earth, to the nations. And the word for power here is dynamis or dunamis. And that means miraculous power, power that is beyond natural ability. So in ourselves, we don't have the ability to live as a believer. We only have the ability to live as a believer because the Holy Spirit has baptized us with himself. We only have the ability to operate in miraculous power because of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we so need the Holy Spirit in our lives. So what does this look like, all this stuff for us as believers? Day of Pentecost, most of us are going to know this story. They've been together for 10 days or so. They didn't know how long this was going to be. They didn't even know what was going to happen. But they've been together about 10 days or so. The Holy Spirit came, the violent wind came in the room. And it said that filled the whole house where they were sitting, and what seemed to be tongues of fire. You know, in the Bible, when people are saying things, they don't really know how to say exactly what they're seeing. How many times have they said, well, it was like this. Well, it was kind of like that, but I'm trying to explain the best I can to you. It was like this and like that. And so they say here in this moment, what seemed to be tongues of fire that separate and came to rest on each of them. What does it then say? All of them were filled. All of them. God has no favorites. He has no favorites whatsoever. All of them were filled. We're all his favorites in that sense. With the Holy Spirit, and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled. The Holy Spirit's enabling to speak in other tongues. And what happened? Because they spilled out onto the streets. They couldn't contain in them what was going on. And they spilled in the streets. They were praising God. And the people around them were like, what is this? We can hear the praises of God in our own languages. And Peter stands up, begins to preach the gospel to them. The man that a few weeks earlier, when asked, aren't you one of those followers of Jesus? And he's like, no, I'm not one of them. And three times he denied him in a few minutes. But yet suddenly thousands of people are around hearing them praising God out in the street. And they're like, what is this? What is this? And instead of going, oh, this sounds a bit, and they even said, you lot sound like you're drunk. And he stands up. It's only 9 in the morning. Of course, we're not drunk. And he begins to preach the gospel. And suddenly there's a boldness on this guy. There's a conviction in him. And what's in him is stronger than a denial that was a few weeks earlier. when he didn't have the Spirit in him in the same way that when they said, aren't you one of his followers? And he's like, no. Now they're like, so what is this? You guys are weird. You're drunk. What's going on? And he stands up and he goes, yeah, I'm one of these guys who believes in Jesus. I'm not ashamed of him. I'm not ashamed of him. What is the biggest issue in the church? It's fear. 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 What are people going to think of me if they find out I'm a Jesus freak? DC Talk. What will people say if they hear that I'm a Jesus freak? You know, it's like, sorry, that was a bit out of tune. That was about as best as you're going to get this morning in terms of singing from me. So suddenly the fear of man's gone. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of Jesus. What's the difference? He's now been baptized in the Holy Spirit. What happens? A lot of people get saved, but they come under conviction. What must we do to be saved? And he says, repent and be baptized, and then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Salvation is more than just praying a prayer. You know, sometimes we say, did they pray the prayer? You know, anybody that cries out to God, God's going to come, right? There's not, God, I need you. Forgive me. I'm a sinner. Would you cleanse me, purify me? I need you. God will come and boom, he'll meet somebody right there. Repent, be baptized, and you'll receive the gift. It's important. There's four parts to being born again. Surrender your life to Jesus. Repentance. Turning away, lordship. So repentance is being forgiven. I'm turning around, being saved. It's coming. Then there's lordship. Jesus, now come and be Lord in my life. I believe in you and be Lord of my life now. Repentance, faith, come and be Lord. Then there's be baptized in water, and then it's baptized in the Holy Spirit. That is becoming a believer in Jesus. I was filled with the Spirit when I was a kid, growing up, and prayed as a family, prayed, read the Bible, all of that stuff on my own, as well as the family. I think because my dad, Anglican background, and back then in the 60s and 70s, there wasn't, and certainly in the Anglican church, there wasn't full immersion, you know, like some Anglican churches do that now. It's very much the sort of christening thing. And then if you are baptized, it's the same, you know, spot of water or whatever. And he'd always been like, whew, you know, and we were in Australia as a family, and seeing some friends there over one Christmas time. And I think I can't remember what age I was, 15, 16, something like that. And 16 or so. And my dad was like, I need to get baptized. And fully immersed and everything. And so he did. The friends we were with, and they had the place we were staying at, a swimming pool. So we all got baptized, right? For me, what happened the following year, after being baptized in water, and there in the water, the guy that baptized me, it was my dad there, and the other guy, Harry, and they prayed for me, fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit. With the following year, all the gifts of the Spirit, all of them, just started flying out. And I was like, wow, I've had the Holy Spirit for years. I've spoken in tongues for years. I have had a few words of knowledge here and there, and this and that and the other. But during that following year, it was just a flow of the gifts of the Spirit just started getting released in different contexts. And I started seeing loads of people getting healed, and I was prophesying over people. And I played drums back then. And when I was, I'd just become 17, I think. And so I was driving like a nutter when you do it at 17, trying to see how fast you can get from one place to the next. There were no speed cameras back then. I've repented of all of that lot now anyway. And yeah, I used to see if I could beat my... Anybody else done this? You try and... If you can get there faster than you... Yeah, Roger, I know you're shaking your head because you're a scouser, mate. You're bound to have done that, mate. Come on. And sorry, forgive me. I'm not coming against scousers in any way. It was just a year of release. It was like, wow. And at that, I thought, wow, I knew Jesus. I was filled with the Spirit. But getting baptized in water and being obedient to that command, and then that fresh infilling or empowering of the Holy Spirit, and what then got released the following year, during that year. And I was playing drums, worked with a guy called Ishmael, and who some of you will have heard of, some of you think you've never heard of him. Amazing guy. Praise and worship, did stuff for young people, kids, families, all sorts of things. And he would just drop you in it. You'd be in a praise and worship thing. There might be, I don't know, 300, 500, 1,000 people at these things. And then he would just in the middle of the worship just say, the drummer's got loads of words of knowledge for people to be healed. He's going to come out and just give words of knowledge. If that's you, come forward. He's going to lay hands on you and you're all going to be healed. And the drummer's sitting there going, he hasn't got any words of knowledge. He hasn't got anything at this moment. And or it's like the drummer's got prophetic words for people in the room and he's going to pick you out and prophesy over you and all of that. And I'm thinking, no, he has not. He's got no prophecies at this moment. I'm just enjoying sitting back here playing the drums. And he would look over and he'd be like, come on, get out, you know, sort of, it's your turn now. I've been leading now. You've just been playing the drums. Now come and do something. You know, it's like... And I'd get to the microphone without anything, nothing. I'd be walking to the microphone going, Holy Spirit, now would be a good time. Now would be a good time. Now would be a, come on, Holy Spirit, stand there. And I might have three words. Or I might, as I look up, it was like a light went on over somebody's face. And it was like three words. And I'm like, and just start. And I'm like, okay. And I would start saying the three words. And the next thing, this prophetic word would come out for that person. Same, and it would just go like that, or words of knowledge, or I would look at somebody over there and God would give me a word of knowledge for them about something wrong in their body. And I'll say, is that, and they'll go, yeah, that's exactly what's going on. See, the Holy Spirit is in us. And he knows what's going on, not just in us, but around us and what he wants to do through our lives, amen. He enables us to do the same things as Jesus did. He produces the life of the early church. We haven't got time for some of this stuff and we'll bring it out over the next few weeks. And what Acts 2, 42 to 47, about the early church, the life they had, that's what the Holy Spirit produced in them. I'll come back to that another week. He enables us to do the same things as Jesus did. He said, Jesus said himself, John 14, you're going to do greater things. I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I'm going to the Father. What's he basically saying? And I'll do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me anything in my name and I'll do it. He said, I'm going to the Father, but I'm going to send you the one who can do all the same things as I've been doing through you. So he doesn't say, in your own strength, now try and do what I've been doing. Because Jesus said himself, I can't do anything of my own. I can only do what I see the Father doing. What was he basically saying? I can only do what the Holy Spirit is doing that the Father's told the Spirit to do in someone's life. So all I'm doing is looking, where are you working, Holy Spirit? Because I can't do anything, but you're the one who works and I don't even know what to say. So what are you saying, Holy Spirit, from the Father? Then I'll know what to say. Doesn't that take the pressure off us? So when we talk about being baptized in the Holy Spirit, it's so that we can do all the things that Jesus did and greater things still, knowing I still can't do those, but it's the Holy Spirit in me. So when somebody says, hey, can you pray with me for healing? It's like, yeah, sure. Holy Spirit, thank you that you're in me and you're going to do something in this person right now because you are the healer. I am not. I'm a vessel. I'm a believer. We've got to finish. So He enables the same thing. How do we see that? Peter and John, Acts chapter 3, on the way to prayer, crippled beggar, hey, give me some money. He's like, silver and gold I don't have, but what I do have, I love that, don't you? What I do have. This is why the Holy Spirit is not an emotion, is not a feeling. Because a lot of the time when we're faced with something, we stand there and go, I feel like I don't have anything. Because we go on our feelings. I don't feel powerful. I don't feel victorious. I don't, you know. But he says, look, I haven't got any money, but what I have got, you can have. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And he takes him by his right hand and he helps him up. And the guy's ankles became strong, legs became strong, and he began to jump and dance around. But just to let you know, this might put you off. What happened when you read the first 7, 8, 9 chapters of Acts? The more they allowed the Holy Spirit to work through them, the more they saw happen. Amazing, and we all want that, right? But the more the opposition came. Now, I'm not saying when we do stuff, there'll always be opposition, right? But the spirit of the world is having a huge effect on the church in our nation.
Yes, that's the truth.
Massive. A lot of denominations are making decisions out of trying to please the world, trying to please people because of fear. Within those denominations, there are some amazing believers who love Jesus, who love the word, are filled with the Holy Spirit, and don't want to compromise. But for whatever reason, I've met some. Everything in me wants to leave where I've been, but I know God's saying, stay where you are because I want you to be light where you are in the church, let alone in the world. I'm like, mate, good on you. If that's what you really, I'll pray for you. But the power of the Holy Spirit is in us to enable the purpose of God through us.
Yes.
The mandate for the church is not meetings on a Sunday morning. The mandate for the church is to go and make disciples, to be a community of people living and loving and laying their lives down for each other and then reaching those around us empowered by the Holy Spirit. And that will upset the status quo of the culture and the day that we live in. Now, do we go around on purpose upsetting people? Absolutely not. No, Jesus didn't do that. He didn't go around saying, right, who can I upset today and wind them up? He just, Father, what are you doing? What are you saying? I'm just going to do that. I'm going to be... And it ruffled people's feet. You look at the early church, Paul the Apostle, he goes to different places. He starts preaching the gospel in Ephesus. They get annoyed with him. They get riled with him. Loads of people are getting saved, but then the whole city turns against him. Oh, we don't want that. We want to be the church. We want to be nice to everybody. We want everybody to like us. But all he's doing is telling people about Jesus. They're just seeing the sick getting healed and people getting free from demonic powers. And suddenly some people are getting annoyed. There are spirits at work in our nation that are anti-God. Some of them represent other religions without going there. The spirit of the age in other ways to do with lifestyles, all of that. And the enemy wants us to shrink back. He wants us to be silent. He wants us to be muted. Stay in your lane. Stay in your corner, out of the way. Because I'm in charge of everything out there. That's what he basically is saying to the church. Keep your mouth shut. Don't upset everybody. Who do you think you are? You're a bunch of bigots. You're a bunch of this, that, and the others. You see, what does the Holy Spirit do? He's the spirit of love. And to give people the gospel is to love people. We're not here to point the finger. All of us have been saved out of the rubbish that we were in beforehand. None of us have got a right to point the finger at anybody else. We're recipients of mercy and grace in the same way as others need that same mercy. And so we must be a people of mercy and grace. That's God's love expressed, mercy and grace. Loving kindness. And God is shaking the tree at the moment. He's shaking the church at the moment in our nation. He's letting everything come to the surface. I want everything to come out for it to be seen for what it really is. I don't want anything hidden in the church any longer. I believe God is saying to the church, if you want to believe that and go down that road, that's all, it's up to you. But I'm bringing it out into the light to show it for what it is. Because he sees it already. And he always gives people time to repent in the church. And when they don't, he'll uncover it and bring it out if they don't repent. It's the way he works. And he's bringing all sorts of stuff out. But at the same time, what's he doing? He's drawing a line. He's like, this is my line. This is the kingdom. That's not. Which side of the line do you want to be on? Because they're the days that we're in. We're not in days to mess about and have a bit of this and a bit of that. We're not in days just to turn up on a Sunday morning for a service in a church building somewhere, whether here or anywhere. The church is a community of people sharing lives, in each other's lives, meeting each other's needs and being aware of what's going on. How can we reach the world? How can we see lives transformed? What is it that makes us tick in our lives? What if you sow to the Spirit, you're going to reap from the Spirit. If you sow to the flesh, you'll reap the flesh. What does that mean? It means every choice that you make every day will determine whether you sow to the Spirit in that moment or you sow to something else. Every decision that you and I make in the day either helps us grow and go, or it helps us to be filled with or engaged, engulfed with something else. The next thing we want, the next thing we, whatever it might be, I don't know. Whatever it is in your life that could be a motivation for something. Let's stand. Sorry if I'm ranting. Sorry, everybody. You know, just let's stand to our feet. Let's stand to our feet. Hopefully there's no condemnation in what I'm saying here. God is like, church, not just us, but church, wake up, be alive, be alert, be on the move, be full of me, be overflowing with me. This is who I am. There's lives, so many lives going to hell. There's a nation that is teetering on the edge of so much. Well, it's already got loads of stuff. So many lives are ransacked in our nation, communities and towns and cities and villages. The enemy's having a field day in our nation. I don't know about you, but it's like, God, forgive me where I just take my eyes off you. I get look at this or that or the other and yeah, that would be great. This would be good. Or what about this? But God, I want to be consumed with you. Yes. I want to be consumed with people, with your heart and everything that's involved in that. So let's just lift our hands for a moment. Let's just lift our hands, and we're not going to try and replicate the day of Pentecost. You can't do that. Shake the building, Lord. Shake the building. Yeah. We've all been in meetings like that. Come on, shake the building, Lord. Yeah, shake the building. Yeah. No, God, would you come and baptize me afresh? Fill me. Shake me. Do whatever you do. Shake me so that what is not of you falls off. You can't stay. So that what remains is you and your heart and your purpose. What else, when they got baptized in the Holy Spirit, enabled them to pray. Man, that enabled them to pray. The Holy Spirit, the power of the Spirit, enabled them to pray. Man, God is wanting us to become even more of a praying church than we are. Even more every Wednesday night. There's a prayer meeting here to seek God, to pray, to press into God. I want to encourage you. I'm not saying come every week, but at least try and turn up once a month or something. Because it's not about a prayer meeting. It's about the purposes of God. It's about praying into stuff. It's about seeing breakthroughs. It's about seeing release in our community or town or region or whatever it is. It's pressing into God. God, I want to know you. What is it? It helps us to keep focused on God and not get caught up in other things. It's the engine room of who we are. Just, sorry, raise your hands for a moment. Just, Holy Spirit, would you come upon me afresh? Or maybe start with this. I know time's gone. Holy Spirit, forgive me where I've not done anything with you. Where I've just lived in knowledge, but not lived out the revelation. Holy Spirit, would you forgive me for inactivity? When you've spoken to me and I've not listened or not responded, Father, would you forgive me for not responding to you? All of us would have done this, including myself. Holy Spirit, forgive me where you nudge me and I go, I'll do that later, or I'll get round to it, or whatever it is. Holy Spirit, forgive me for inactivity. Holy Spirit, forgive me for not responding to you. Holy Spirit, forgive me for not saying yes to you. Just invite him. Holy Spirit, I don't even know. We have a responsibility to keep our hearts soft. It's not the Holy Spirit's job to keep our hearts soft. That's our responsibility. And you keep your heart soft by what you focus on, what you give yourself to, what you spend your time in and conversations you have and what you fill your heart and your mind with. That's how you keep your heart tenderized. Worship's a great place just to keep your heart tender. Worship, spend time worshiping, worship. It keeps your heart tender. Praying, spend time praying. Praying for others keeps your heart tender, because you know when you pray for others, something happens in you towards who you're praying for. It keeps your heart tender. We want tender hearts. Tough skin in the world we live in, but soft, tender hearts. Father, I thank you for that fresh release of your Spirit in us and amongst us. Thank you that you're not an emotion, you're a person. Thank you, but you express the heart and the nature of God in us and through us. But it's by your Spirit, not through natural emotions. There's the release of the nature and the character of Christ by your Spirit. Father, I thank you. Open the eyes of our hearts to see people around us in the way you do. This week, neighbors, friends, work colleagues, when we go out and about, whatever we're doing, Father, that our eyes would be open. There'll be no blinkers there, no blind spots there. Thank you for open eyes, open hearts, ready and willing. Anybody available this week for what God wants to do through their lives? So, Father, we thank you and we praise you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. When you pray, spend time talking to the Holy Spirit. One of the things I do, when I'm going around my house, I just talk to Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. Or I sometimes sing Holy Spirit. I won't sing it to you now, it'll put you off. But I just sing Holy Spirit when I'm walking around, because Holy Spirit, I want to know you. Jane walks around the house praying in tongues all the time, you know. And I'm like, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. I need you, I want you. I want to know you. Father, I thank you for every individual, every couple, every family, every household. Father, I just speak your goodness, your blessing, your abundance over every person in this place. I take authority over any condemnation that the enemy has sought to lay on anybody this morning that says, oh, look at your performance, you're not doing that, it's not about performance. You can kick that one into touch. Because none of us will ever perform in the way that we think we should. Because it's not about performance. It's about his perfection in us and us just seeking to walk out who we are in him and do whatever he wants us to do. So, Father, I thank you for that enabling by your Spirit for every one of us in the mighty name of Jesus. Everybody said, Amen.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources from Kingdom Faith and our other audio and video podcasts, please visit www.kingdomfaith.com.